Only man can be told or tell others what is right and what is wrong behavior. Only man can read or write a book. All the rest of the creation is based upon stimulus response. For living organisms, approach pleasure and avoid pain. Nothing in the creation can dialogue with man. Relationship is based upon dialogue, upon I feel and I think, upon our opinion, our perception, with us having the final say. Fellowship, on the other hand, is based upon discussion, upon what the Father says, with the Father having the final say. There is nothing in the creation that Adam could dialogue with. To do so with God would make him equal with God. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him." Taking dialogue, where you have the final say, into the realm of discussion, where the Father has the final say, replacing what the Father says with how you feel and what you think, making you God over what is His. This is what happened in Genesis 3, 1 through 6. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said unto the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." And the serpent said unto the woman, "Ye shall not surely die, for God does know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Yea, hath God said, "Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" is a neurolinguistic construct, an embedded statement in a question, a tool used in hypnosis, found right there in Genesis 3, 1 through 6. Bringing dialogue, what the woman was lusting after, up to the surface of her thought, making it equal with discussion, with what the Father said. Thus bringing up, "Neither shall ye touch it," her self-interest becoming her focus of life, simply requiring the master facilitator of change to create a safe place, zone, space, where she did not have to fear being judged, condemned, being cast out for her thought of the moment, "Ye shall not surely die," with her from then on being able to evaluate the situation from herself, from her carnal nature, recognizing the forbidden tree was just like the rest of the trees, except in her evaluation of it, making her now God, deciding for herself what was right and what was wrong behavior. That's what dialogue does. The moment the woman used dialogue when it came to behavior, the master facilitator of change knew he owned her. No need for her to repent, since in dialogue she was God. Never wrong, just needed to do things better next time if anything does go wrong. Adam, in order to continue a relationship with her, followed after her, rejecting fellowship with God. When caught, Adam and the woman blamed someone else. "Adam, it's not my fault. It's this woman's fault. It was also your fault for creating her, for creating an unhealthy environment for me to live in." The woman: "It's not my fault. It's the master facilitator of change's fault for talking me into doing what I wanted to do." Genesis 3, verse 12 and 13. And the man said, "The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." And the Lord said unto the woman, "What is this thou hast done?" And the woman said, "The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." The formula. Find out what it is you're lusting after. What you're dialoguing with yourself about. Create a way for you to attain it, coming between you and what you're lusting after. Offer to help you to attain it. I then gain your trust with you supporting me and helping you get what you want. I then own you in that you created a world by letting me control your outcome, your education, your job opportunity, your next term in office, where you cannot get what you want, what you're lusting after, without paying me. It is called marketing. You cannot buy or sell without paying me. I have bought and sold your soul with your approval, your affirmation, since you're getting what you want. It is what drug pushers do. This is the power of dialogue, of lust, of dopamine, when it comes to defining and establishing right and wrong behavior. Whoever defines terms for you controls your life. I do not have to tell you how to think or act. All I have to do is help you justify your carnal desires, and you will do what I want, like Thorndike's chickens, Skinner's rats, and Pavlov's dog. You have become human resource, to be used as natural resource to satisfy my carnal pleasure, with your serving, protecting, praising, and worshiping me for doing so. When the affective domain is used in the curriculum in education, that is the outcome. The Lord's response. Jesus always did what the Father said. It is written. He never went to dialogue. I feel and I think. John chapter 5, verse 30. Jesus said, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not my will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. John chapter 12, verses 47 through 50. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Matthew 12, verse 50. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Matthew 7, 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 23:9. And call no man your father upon earth, for one is your Father which is in heaven. All of the gospel is about the Father, the Son coming in obedience to the Father to redeem us from the Father's wrath upon us, and the Father raising him from the grave, therefore reconciling us to himself. It is all about the Father. 2 Timothy verses, chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. James chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. From whence comes wars and fightings amongst you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? You lust and have not, you kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not, because you ask not. You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it unto your lusts. While the Heavenly Father, being not of the flesh, is not subject to dopamine, we, being of the flesh, are, having to choose between either denying ourselves, that is, not yielding to our natural inclination to lust after dopamine, doing his will, or feeding our lust for dopamine, doing our will instead. This is where the difference between spirit and flesh come in. Spirit, not as man calls spirit, such as team spirit, which is tied to dopamine, is that which is external to us, that does not in and of itself stimulate the emancipation of dopamine in us. Spirit is thus doing right and not wrong according to established commands, rules, facts, and truth, from now on referred to as being told, and is not subject to the flesh, to stimulus response. It is known as objective truth, being told, which requires faith. Flesh, on the other hand, is always subject to dopamine, making it subject to the world that stimulates it, and anybody manipulating the environment, engendering subjective truth. Quote, what is the right thing to do according to what I have been told is replaced with, what can I get out of this situation or object, people, or person for myself? Discussion divides between those being or doing right and those being or doing wrong according to what they've been told, knowing from being told, which is formal, judgmental, either or, where the Father retains his authority. He has the final say, because I said so. Nevertheless, it is written. Majority vote retains the Father's authority system, although the person might lose on the particular issue, where doing or being right and not wrong according to the fixed position is the issue at hand. In discussion, doing wrong according to what you've been told engenders a guilty conscience along with judgment, condemnation, and being cast out if you do not repent and do what is right. Do what you're told. With man, since man is not always right, this is a problem. With God, since God is always right, this is not. Dialogue divides between those who insist upon discussion, doing the Father's will, causing division, and for those who are based behavior upon their carnal nature, uniting upon feelings upon what they have in common, with I feel or I think being their means of communication, which is an opinion, informal, non-judgmental, where the child retains his carnal nature. In other words, he has the final say. There is no father's authority in dialogue, or in an opinion, or in the consensus process. There is only the child's natural inclination to lust after pleasure and hate restrained, being expressed and justified. Dialogue moves opinions to a consensus, negating the father's authority and the guilty conscience it engenders in the process. Dialogue, according to the French language, the French Revolution, is liberté from the father's authority, since there is no father's authority in dialogue. Egalité, since all are entitled to their opinion. And fraternité, since the outcome is consensus, where everyone's feelings are in harmony. It is the meaning by which absolutes are replaced with relativity. The father's authority is replaced with a child's lust for pleasure and resentment towards restraint. It is the meaning of tolerance of ambiguity. When it comes to behavior, you have to suspend the Son of God, Jesus Christ, upon a cross, since he was obedient to the Father in all things commanded, demanding you do the same. You have to suspend him on the cross in order to dialogue, in order to find common ground with an unbeliever. While you might deny that that is what you're doing, you cannot refute it. That is what you are doing. Like so-called science, when dialogue is used to develop the issue of discussion, discussion becomes so-called or seems to be discussion, not a true discussion, deceiving the innocent and the naive. The patriarchal paradigm, way of feeling, thinking, and acting towards self, others, the world, and authority, is grounded upon discussion, where the father has the final say. The heresiarchal paradigm of change is grounded upon a person's feelings and thoughts of the moment that the world is stimulating, where the child has the final say. Language, how we communicate with ourselves and with others, which paradigm we use, how we feel, think, and act toward ourselves, others, the world, and authority, comes in here. Opinion and theory, established upon sense experience, upon the emancipation of dopamine, resides in dialogue, while knowing, in caps, and belief established on being told resides in discussion. Real or true science resides in discussion. The truth is known. All the laws of nature are established by God, observable and repeatable and unchangeable, while so-called science resides in dialogue, is still an opinion tossed back and forth, called the antithesis of so-called or seems to be gnosis or knowing in Scripture, where your feelings of the moment, which are ever changing, are treated as a fact or truth, as in the child saying, "I'll just die if you don't let me go out." You have not arrived yet, and you will never arrive, making everything forever subject to change. Knowing by being or having been told resides in discussion, where there is accountability for being or doing wrong, while knowing in dialogue is by sense experience, with doing better next time, the limit of punishment. Thus, two different justice systems. In other words, if you go to discussion, then there's right-wrong. If you go to dialogue, then I'll just do better next time. Totally different outcome in the decision and how you respond to it. Dialogue being justified in their carnal thoughts and carnal actions, in their feelings and thoughts of the moment that the world is stimulating, being encouraged to do better next time at the most. The issue of this missing out on dopamine being the concern, not the issue of being or doing wrong and not right according to what has been told. See, that's what becomes the issue. Did you experience dopamine? If you didn't, then the other person has created laws that go counter to your nature. Therefore, they are the one causing the problem. You see how that works? Anytime you bring discussion, right, wrong, into an environment of dialogue, I feel and I think, you will always be found guilty of being argumentative, negative, divisive, hateful, intolerant, maladjusted, lower-order thinker, unadaptable to change, and needing counseling and punishment if necessary, if you refuse to change. Instead of right-wrong being the issue, which is a position where you're held accountable for doing or being wrong, which is associated with discussion, right or badly, which is an opinion, becomes the issue, where you will only be encouraged to do better next time, which is associated with dialogue. For example, while the old marriage vow went for better or for worse until death do us part, the new vow, which is not that new, includes or until someone better comes along, where dopamine instead of right-wrong becomes the foundation of thought. That is the power of dopamine along with other drugs and hormones our body naturally produces. Adrenaline, endorphin, testosterone, estrogen, and so forth, all associated with stimulus response. That which is of the world, instead of being told. That which is of the Father. Excuse me. What's your language? Your language reveals who you are. When it comes to behavior, your language reveals your paradigm, how you feel, think, and act towards yourself, others, the world, and authority. The same is true for everyone you meet. Discussion and dialogue are two totally different political systems. Discussion is objective, where the Father, what you're told, has the final say, while dialogue is subjective, where your flesh, how you feel, has the final say. While you have both discussion and dialogue, by God being formed from the dust of the ground, the flesh, and the world that stimulates is associated with dialogue, and by the breath of God being a living soul, knowing right from wrong from being told, associated with discussion. When it comes to behavior, which one you turn to that which is associated with the dust of the ground, dialogue, or that which is associated with the breath of God, discussion, determines whether you are a conservative or a liberal. Whether you are seeking after righteousness, that is doing right and not wrong according to what you've been told, or sensuousness, lusting after the carnal pleasures of the moment that the world is stimulating. In discussion, the Father has the final say. Because I said so, it is written. Nevertheless, that is, God is God, associated with top-down authority, with you knowing, in caps, knowing right from wrong from being told. This same pattern of thinking paradigm applies to traditional thinking. Parents, educators, employers, legislators, leaders, judges, doctors, sheriffs, ministers, and so forth. While they might be wrong, the issue of being right and not wrong according to established commands, rules, facts, and truth still remains. While in dialogue, you have the final say, associated with your feelings and thoughts of the moment that the world is stimulating. Your I feel and I think making you God, with you knowing right from wrong from your own sense experience. This same pattern of thinking applies to liberal thinking parents, educators, who are known as facilitators of change, employers, legislators, leaders, judges, doctors, sheriffs, ministers, and so forth, or anyone refusing to dialogue when it comes to behavior, insisting upon discussion, based upon established commands, rules, facts, and truth, instead is to be converted, in other words, to participate, or be silenced, censored, and rejected or cast out. When they say you can share anything you want and not be judged, condemned, or cast out, they lie. Because if you tell others how they are to behave according to established commands, rules, facts, and truth, you will be judged, condemned, and cast out. No true discussion allowed here. That is why when you talk to anyone who has participated in the dialoguing of opinions to a consensus process, let's be positive and not negative meeting, which is now almost everywhere there is, you can no longer communicate with them. They are no longer able to discuss issues with you, only being able to dialogue, requiring you to do the same. Our ability to reason comes from God, either using it to do His will, from being told, that's discussion, or using it to justify our flesh, which is dialogue, justing the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life in disobedience to God, called sin. Which one we use when it comes to behavior determines who we serve, either God or the flesh and the world that stimulates it. Just to clarify, when God told Adam he could eat the fruit of all of these trees, these certain trees, he could dialogue there, like at a smorgasbord. You know, I like this fruit better than that fruit. But he could not take that dialogue which makes him God. He's choosing. Like, you go out to eat lunch, you choose the food you like. You don't eat the food you don't like. And anytime you take that spectrum test from you hate to, well, I don't like, and then finally I have no opinion, and then I like, and eventually I love. That spectrum is grading your dialogue, not your discussion. And the more the society goes to dialogue, the more that test is being used. That's feedback loops. That's marketing. Because they know you're going to purchase on feelings, impulse. Rather than weighing the cost of something, you're going to go with sensation. If it makes you feel good, you buy it. Therefore, you sell more product, and you literally own the customer. Therein lies the agenda. It's all about buying and selling. And this has gone to the soul, because you sell your soul when you make behavior subject to dialogue. Hope I'm making that clear. It's in Scripture. It's before us, but we cannot see it. We cannot know it until somebody tells us. If we reject being told, if we're not teachable, we will never know. When it comes to the tension or the temptations in life, you either trust in the Lord or lean to your own understanding. Remember, God cursed the creation, drove Adam and Eve out of the garden, cursed the ground. Therefore, we have difficulties. And then we also have temptation. And it is that tension that Adam was experiencing from the beginning. Only the Lord can deal with the tension of life, where through discussion with the Father has the final say. When man, through dialogue, turns to himself, to his own understanding, he sells his soul to whoever can resolve the tension. The tension Adam had regarding dialogue, God resolved through creating the woman. When the woman sinned, bringing dialogue, where she had the final say, into the realm of discussion, where God has the final say, Adam, instead of turning to God for direction, followed after her in order to resolve the tension of being without her, that is, not being able to dialogue, choosing dialogue with a woman instead of discussion with God. Jesus never let the tension of life, the temptation of life, come between him and the Father, even in the wilderness, refusing to dialogue with the devil, saying, "It is written," or "Dad says," instead, calling us to do the same. Being equal with God, being able to dialogue with God, to go, "I feel and I think," he turning to discussion where the Father has a final say, humbled himself, doing what the Father said in all things commanded for our soul's sake. Noah's sons were to scatter, trusting in the Lord, but leaning to their own understanding, they built a city and a tower instead, as did the children of Israel in the wilderness, wanting to go back to Egypt, back to dopamine land, instead of trusting in the Lord, as did the scribes, Pharisees, and priests in Jesus' day, choosing Caesar over God, as has man throughout history. Whoever comes between you and the Lord, including what God the Father has given you, offering to help resolve the tension you're experiencing or you're fearing experiencing of it, from the garden in Eden to Judgment Day, that has been the conflict between discussion, doing what the Father says, which requires faith. And again, with man, there's a problem with that. Because in man's discussion, he's going to have his dialogue. In other words, what can I get out of this for me? With God, he sent his son. He has nothing to gain from us. Jesus despises the shame of the cross, but he looked forward to the joy that lie ahead. And we all might think, well, that's the glory he had before he came for us. No, the joy that lies ahead is you and me. That's why he came. Hard for us to comprehend that. But until we realize how wicked we are before God, we deserve nothing. We deserve the lake of fire that is never quenched. We deserve that. It's hard for us to comprehend that because we're God. But because we have become frauds, acting like we're God when we're not, that's fraud. And what do you do with a fraud? You punish him. Well, God's perfect, and he's a consuming fire, and therefore nothing that's not pure and perfect can come before him. And therein lies the lake of fire that is never quenched. And that's why Jesus came. He came for you and for me in obedience to the Father. It's the Lord Jesus Christ who redeems us from the judgment, and it's the Father who reconciles us through the resurrection back to himself through his Son. From the Garden in Eden to Judgment Day, that has been the conflict between discussion, doing what the Father said, which requires faith, and dialogue, doing what you want instead, which is based upon sight. When it comes to behavior, those are only two choices. Merging the two only causes confusion. That's called cognitive dissonance, with us turning to ourselves and man instead of to the Lord to resolve the conflict. This was the message of the Protestant Reformation. Sola Scriptu, Sola Christus, and so forth. That is, Scriptures only, Christ only, faith only, grace only, to the glory of God alone, putting no man between you and the Lord when it comes to behavior. While the scientific method can build planes and bridges, to apply it to human behavior only justifies man's sins. When you justify immorality, to be silent, by the way, is to consent. That's where, if you suspend Christ on the cross, if you're silent in the midst of unrighteousness, and that's what you've done, you put Christ on the cross. No, I didn't. Yes, you did. To the other person, you didn't bring the Lord up. And therefore, in their mind, your relationship with them is more important than your fellowship with the Lord. That's the message you convey in your silence. And any lawyer, if he lets the other lawyer slander you and he doesn't respond, that other lawyer's slandering of you has now become accepted. And so your silence to immorality is the same thing. In the mind of the other person, you have justified in their mind their immorality. When you justify immorality, to be silent is to consent. In order to build planes, bridges, and houses, you make immorality the norm. That's the group grade. The students have to put aside what dad and mom says for the sake of the relationship with the other students, for the sake of working on a project. That's a group grade because it's dealing with their behavior, their feelings. They have to get rid of mom and dad and God for the sake of the relationship, everybody in that group. There is no other purpose. They might try to sell you while they're learning how to get along with others for the sake of building a better society, but what they've done is they're building the Tower of Babel instead of following the Lord, doing what's right, and not doing what's wrong according to what God says, according to what the parent says. Dad and mom might be wrong, but it's that right-wrong structure that they're destroying in that classroom experience with those students. This is something, see, to be silent in the midst of unrighteousness is something the Word of God condemns. Hebrews 4, chapter 4, verse 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 10. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you such as in common in man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. When it comes to the Word of God, down through the ages, two camps have dealt with it. The discussion camp sought to retain every word Jeremiah and the Apostle Paul wrote down, making man subject to it, while the dialogue camp changed it in order to make it fit with the times, in order for man to better understand it, making it subject to the opinions of men. This is the difference between the translations made from the Textus Receptus and contemporary translations, which are all subject to the Metzer, Nestlin, and Olney Greek texts of Vaticanus Bay, Sinaiticus Alph, and Codex X, in harmony with the Alexandrian texts, which are all Gnostic or dialectic in origin. This is why those of the Textus Receptus camp detected the heresy of the Dialogue camp, which has now taken over the church. When it comes to behavior, which one you turn to, discussion or dialogue determines your political system. Either turning to discussion, where you're accountable to the one above, which takes on the form of doing or being right according to established commands, rules, facts, and truth, as in old school, doing what you're told, or being corrected and chastened for disobeying, and thus having a guilty conscience for doing wrong, leading to repentance, with you doing right from then on, or if you, refusing to repent, continue to disobey, being judged, condemned, and or cast out, or turning to dialogue instead, where you're only accountable to what is below, which takes on the form of doing what you want in response to the current situation and or object, people, or person present, doing what you feel like doing in the moment, known as stimulus response. With God, it's being told. With that which is the world, it's stimulus response. They're not the same. They're two totally different paradigms. The meaning of change as used today does not mean by persuasion based upon being told, changing from one position to another, but rapidly changing in response to the current situation based upon your feelings of the moment that the environment is stimulating, approaching pleasure and avoiding pain, which includes the mental pain of missing out on pleasure, following after, supporting, defending, praising, worshiping, even dying for those who justify pleasure, that is lust, known as facilitators of change. That's the role of the facilitator of change. He has no other role. Rejecting those, no matter what he tells you, that is his role. Rejecting those who insist that everyone do right and not wrong according to what they've been told, that get in the way of pleasure, that is lust, that is dopamine. True science, which is based upon discussion, known facts, is now replaced with so-called science, which is based upon dialogue. And I'll cover this later on with Thomas Kuhn's quotations. The opinion of men being tossed back and forth, that's what scripture's antithesis, so-called knowledge, just antithesis, pseudonomous gnosis. In other words, you're just tossing opinions back and forth, and that is called science. Well, it's not. You know, they're reinventing the wheel. You know, well, maybe 2 + 2 might be 5 instead of 4. We don't know for sure. Well, we do know it is 4. And so it's madness to go anywhere else. But that's what the process does. Boys don't know that they're boys now. You know, the XX chromosome, XY chromosome is no longer an issue. It's all based on feelings. And that's all manipulation of whoever's created this wicked, immoral environment for these children to experience that parents have turned them over to. It's the parents' fault because the parents have rejected God. God says, because you refuse to recognize me and my law, I refuse to recognize your children. Forget your children. You can even homeschool if you don't have that father's authority structure in the home. That's what all of education today is about. You have done nothing different. That homeschool child is going to go to Harvard and he's going to flip over to Marxism faster than you can snap your finger. Because now he's actually experiencing what he has gone through in home, his resentment being told what he can or cannot do and missing out on all the pleasure the other kids are having because his heart has not been changed. That's what the father's authority does. The matriarch doesn't do that. The patriarch does. The approval of man in order for man to sin without having a guilty conscience with everybody's affirmation, no longer being judged, condemned, or cast out. Thomas Kuhn, explaining his paradigm shift concept of pre- and post-paradigm periods, where facts-based scientists are replaced with feelings-based scientists, quoting Max Planck. Thomas Kuhn. A new scientific truth does not triumph by convincing its opponents and making them see the light, but rather because its opponents eventually die, and a new generation grows up that is familiar with it. Whereupon, the man who continues to resist after his whole profession has been converted, other words, to dialogue, is ipso facto cease to be a scientist. So true scientists who come into the room, want to discuss the facts, are now accused of being argumentative because the room has embraced the language of dialogue and called that the language of science. No, true science is discussion, because once you know a law, it's established. It's unadaptable to change. Now, we might find new laws, and you dialogue to find those laws, but once you find them, from then on, it's a discussion. Lust for pleasure, for dopamine, is the drive of our conversation with ourselves. Dialogue. Lust for pleasure and hatred towards restraint goes hand in hand with dialogue. When you make pleasure, called the affective domain, our focus of attention, our purpose in life becomes our agenda to change or augment the environment in order to have more of it, which requires the removal of anyone who gets in the way. Since the father gets in the way, discussion is not subject to the child, to dialogue, but rather the child dialogue is subject to the father. That's discussion. See the conflict between the two. In order for the child, that's dialogue, to become free from the restraints of the father, that's discussion, the father, that's discussion, when it comes to behavior, has to be removed from the classroom, has to be removed from the workplace. Again, you go into this environment of dialogue, I feel and I think, with I know because dad said so, you will always be perceived as being argumentative. It's a fact. It's a truth. It's like science itself. It's going to happen. And for that room to stay in dialogue, they have to martyr you. Because the Greek word for martyr is witness. Excuse me, the English word for martyrius is witness. If you're a witness for the truth, God knows about this, you're going to get martyred. In other words, you come in with this is right and that is wrong and what you're doing is wrong in a group of going, I feel and I think, you're going to get martyred if they have their way. It's an absolute. You send your child into this environment to be a witness, don't be disappointed. Your child is either going to be converted for the sake of the approval of the group, of others, or he's going to get martyred and harmed. You don't send your children in to be a martyr. You need to go in and be that martyr. In other words, you protect your children. You know, the shield of faith, it protects you. You give your child faith and they go into this environment. If I, as a teacher, ask your child to defend their position you've given them, they can't defend it. Your position defends them. So if I can get them go, I feel and I think in regards to your position, they're going to lose. They have to say, Dad says. That's what Jesus said. You know, when my father commands, that's what I say. It is written. They have to stay with that language of discussion. And if they go outside of that, if they go like Genesis 3, 1 through 6, if they go to I feel and I think, you've lost them. That's what this whole Bloom's taxonomy is about. What's missing in it is the father's authority. You come in with a father's authority into that environment, that child is going to be neutered, silenced, censored, and removed. The two cannot survive in the same room. It's one or the other. Since the father, discussion is not subject to the child, that is to dialogue, but rather the child, that is dialogue, is subject to the father. See, the child goes, why? And dad says, because I said so. He just cuts off the dialogue. Discussion, in order for the child, dialogue, to become free from the restraints of the father, discussion, the father, in other words, this act of discussion, when it comes to behavior, has to be removed from the environment. Is that understood? That's what happened in the garden. That's what's happening in the Bloom's taxonomy group grade classroom. That's the agenda. How can we practice or put into practice what happened in Genesis 3, 1 through 6? They are one and the same. That's why you get to the heart core of the men pushing this. They're all worshiping Lucifer. Because that's what he did in the garden. That's Bloom's taxonomies. And later on, I'll get into Bloom's taxonomy itself. Nobody bothers to read it. That's why we're doing it. It is only then that the child, that is dialogue, can have his way. In other words, if the group goes to the dialogue, with everyone enjoying whatever in the environment is stimulating dopamine, without the father, discussion getting in the way. In other words, if chewing gum is wrong, and a child is chewing gum and he gets in trouble, this process says, well, let's bring gum for everybody. And therefore, everybody can chew gum. See, and therefore, there is no wrong. You get rid of the issue of right and wrong. This is important to grasp since it is the agenda of the so-called New World Order. Whoever controls our means of communication controls the outcome. Anyone who has been in a consensus, be positive, not negative meeting will understand the significance of this explanation. When it comes to behavior, with a father, discussion, that is restraint being negative, and the child, dialogue, that is lust being positive. Since discussion is not subject to dialogue, since the father is not subject to the child, but rather dialogue is subject to discussion, that is, the child is subject to the father, in order for dialogue to become free from the restraints of discussion, in order for the child to be free from the father's authority, discussion when it comes to behavior, that is the father when it comes to behavior, has to be removed from the environment. It's Olive Bloom is starting with the children's self-experience, their sense experience. And in doing so, the father's excluded. And it guarantees that all these children are going to turn against the father's authority system. It is only then that dialogue, the child can have his way with everybody enjoying whatever in the environment is stimulating dopamine. That's why these kids are running over, touching everything, think they own everything. Town councils think they own your property. Mayors drive around town thinking they own everything they see. And if your property doesn't make them feel happy, then they make laws to make sure you change it in a way that they feel giddy about looking at it. And now you don't own your land. They own the land. And they still give you the perception, but you pay taxes to support them so they can make laws to make sure you jump through their hoops, like Skinner's rats and Pavlov's dogs and Thorndike's chickens. This all goes through, once you get your town council in dialogue, how they feel and what they think. No, they're there to represent you, to have a discussion. This is right and that is wrong. But the facilitator comes in and says, oh, we have too much argument here. Let's just put aside our differences, have a little time, and just chat and, you know, and bond and build all that relationship. And all of a sudden, what you find is your town council, you can't even talk to them anymore. Man, I knew you say your school board members go off for a conference and come back with a lobotomy. You can't talk to them anymore. Well, what happened was they moved from a discussion, which you put them into office to represent you. That's a discussion. And they come back with dialogue and you try to have a conversation with them and you can't because they're lost. They're into the dialogue language and they can't handle the discussion because if they do, they have to admit they're wrong. And you might not put them in office again. And they're getting all kinds of kudos. And, oh, the building relationship with all their friends. They're going to miss their friends. From the Garden in Eden to Judgment Day, the conflict has been the same. The child either being subject to discussion, doing what the father says, or subject to dialogue, doing what he wants. Lusting after dopamine. Hating restraint. Striking out against anyone taking or threatening to take his drug away.